This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Taking a look at your grain futures on the Board of Trade from Tuesday's close, they finished lower across the board after the Monday holiday. Corn for September was 8 1/4 lower to 349 3/4. December corn was 8 3/4 lower to 361. March corn was 8 lower to 374 1/4. Soybeans for September were 0.5 cent lower to 856 1/2. November beans were also 0.5 cent lower to 868 1/2. January beans were 0.25 cent higher to 882 1/4. Chicago wheat on September was 4 cents lower to 447 1/4. December wheat was 9 cents lower to 453 1/2. March wheat was down 10 1/4 to 459 3/4. Soybean meal for September was down $1.30 to $2.88 a ton. October bean meal was also down $1.30 to $2.90.40. December bean meal was down $1.20 to $2.94.10. Finally, soybean oil was the bright spot Tuesday, with the September contract gaining 23 cents to $28.87. October bean oil gained 30 cents to $28.94. December bean oil gained 28 cents to $29.09. So to recap Tuesday's closing grain futures, corn was down 8 to 8 3/4. Soybeans were down 0.5 to up 1/4. Wheat was down 4 to 10 1/4. Soybean meal down $1.20 to $1.30. Soybean oil gained 23 to 30 cents. Now we'll move on and take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's cash grain report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price in turn prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon with the extended forecast of no risk of frost and no price supportive news. Grains drifted lower. In northern western Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 9 to 12 lower at 310 to 353. Soybean bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 798 to 813. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents lower at 336 to 361. Soybean bids were mixed at 812 to 844. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 8 to 9 lower at 306 to 376. Soybean bids were down 2 cents at 811 to 834. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids were 1 to 5 lower at 831 to 874. Basis was steady to down 4 at 3800 to 5 over the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 278 to 293 a ton, with basis at 10 under to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were steady to 3 cents higher, 361 to 378, with basis at option 217 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevated could have produced a corn bid steady to a penny higher, 333 to 354, with basis at 28 under to 7 under the December. Soybeans ended down 1 to 5 cents at 825 to 831, with basis unchanged to down 4 at 44 under to 38 under the November. Wheat prices are down 4 cents at 397 to 408, with basis steady at 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminal is placed their producer corn bids 6 to 8 lower at 341 to 343. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 4 to 8 cents, with quotations at 846 to 849. So if we close mixed at 456 to 468, Milo ended the day down 8 cents at 394 to 395. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery in the northern part of the state at 316 to 351, soybeans at 802 to 838. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 333 to 356, soybeans at 808 to 854. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 306 to 371, soybeans at 805 to 836, and June-July wheat at 440 to 450. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Tuesday's closing livestock futures finished in positive territory after the close. Live cattle for October were 35 cents higher to 99.27. December live cattle were 65 cents higher to 104.32. February live cattle were 17 cents higher to 109.20. Feeder cattle for September were up $1.75 to 134.15. October feeders were up $1.30 to 132.10. November feeders were up 70 to 131.02. Finally, lean hogs for October gained $3 to $66.52. December lean hogs gained $2.45 to $65.82. February lean hogs gained $1.87 to $73.30. Now to recap Tuesday's closing livestock futures. Live cattle were up 17 to 65 cents. Feeders were up 70 to $1.75. Lean hogs were up $1.87 to $3. And we'll move on again and take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield to recap Tuesday's closing cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Starting the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 35 cents lower, in a range of $49.50 to $63, with a weighted average carcass price of $55.34. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were firm with light to moderate demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 19 to 23, 4 to 5 weighted 21 to 25, 5 to 6 weighted 23 to 27, and over 600 pounds, $25 to $29. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were 3 to 4 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $33 to $40. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gelts a total of $30,080. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on dress basis trade at $170. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 334 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $74.60, which is $2.29 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $230.66, which is $1.11 lower, while select carcasses are $211.62, which is 65 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 117,000, compared to 117,000 last week and 115,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 485,000 compared to 459,000 last week and 463,000 one year ago. A recap of today's Fairview sale barn auction had total receipts of 377. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold $2.75 to $3 lower. Slaughter cows sold mixed. Slaughter bulls sold 2.25 lower. Choice steers at 103 to 109.50. Choice heifers from 102 to 108.50. Breaker cows from $57.50 to $68. Boner cows from $53 to $61.50. And lean cows from $45.50 to $56. And bulls from $80 to $87.50. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy. And in ag news for this Wednesday morning, President Trump is right to continue his tariff pressure on China, according to a longtime ag senator, Chuck Grassley. Grassley agrees with President Trump's strategy to keep the tariff pressure on China to get serious in negotiations that were still planned to resume this month. But he does add this.
In conversations I've had, it's pretty certain the United States doesn't care much to sit down and talk unless there's going to be real serious movement on the three or four things that we think are most important, manipulating the currency, stealing intellectual property, trade secrets, and transfer technology.
The stock market soared last Thursday after China's Commerce Ministry said it was opposed to escalating trade tensions and that it wished to resolve its long-running trade dispute with the U.S. with a calm attitude. However, President Trump went ahead with September 1st tariff hikes anyway, after China threatened more retaliation earlier. Grassley says the tariff war has still not soured farmers on the president, despite the trade damage.
Farmers sticking with the president because they know China shouldn't be allowed to cheat on as a member of the World Trade Organization. There's still the anxiety out there. There's still a wish that something could be settled very quickly.
The American Farm Bureau says the tariff war with China has more than cut in half the U.S. farm sales to China, though China has far exceeded its WTO subsidy limits, stolen U.S. trade secrets, and manipulated its currency, all at the expense of U.S. farmers and manufacturers. In other national news, a survey by Farm Futures magazine reports farmers are planning to plant more corn and soybeans next year. The 2020 planting intentions survey found farmers intend to plant 94.1 million acres of corn next year, which is up 4.5% from the 90 million acres planted this year, as reported by the Department of Agriculture in August. Farmers also reported to Farm Futures their intentions to plant 83.6 million acres of soybeans next year, which is 9% more than this year, but 5.6 million below the 89.2 million acres planted in 2018. Hard red winter wheat seedings are expected to increase 1.3% to 23 million acres, and soft red winter wheat seedings could also increase. Meanwhile, farmers in cotton-growing states are planning to reduce their cotton seeding by 8.7%, down to 12.7 million acres next spring, and sorghum could gain 9.3% to reach 5.8 million acres planted. However, given the wet spring of this year and the number of acres not planted, some of the survey results should come as no surprise. This time last week started day two of the Farm Progress Show in Decatur. And last Wednesday, I caught up with Jim Miller of the Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore, as well as Tim Hain of the First National Bank of Nokomis. Jim, today we're here on day two of the show here in Decatur for the Farm Progress Show, and you had an opportunity to bring some of the members of the bank up here on a bus trip to enjoy the show.
We had approximately 40 local people from the Nokomis-Witt area that came with us on a bus this morning. Our bank and First National Bank of Nokomis, which I have Tim Hain here with me, we co-sponsor this trip, and we go every year to the Farm Progress Show and provide it as a way for the people in the community to come up and be able to come on a bus and kind of interact with some of the other farmers and be able to come and enjoy the show. And I don't think we could ask for any better weather than we've got today.
It is a very beautiful day and not bad for late August. Coming from a banking perspective, when you come to a show like this and when it comes to maybe future investments and loans or things like that through the bank and you see just the progress of agriculture, what is that? What do you kind of see for the future of the bank?
Well, a lot of what you see out here is high tech, it seems like. I mean, you know, there's more site-specific on you know, your fertilizer and your chemical application and a lot of, you know, the auto steer, a lot of the yield mapping and various things like that. That just year after year, you see more of that. And you see it kind of trickle down as you can, where it becomes more affordable for people as it goes along, too.
And we'll move on and talk to Tim Hain with First National Bank of Nokomis. And, Tim, you have a few members of your bank and, like, Jim said, a few members of the Nokomis and Witt area, and kind of in your opinion, your perspective of the show, just you've probably been coming to the show for a few years now, just new things you've seen or anything you'd like to talk about?
Well, actually, this is my first year that I've been back in a while. I've been the president of a couple of banks and really didn't get out, but I took over for another gentleman that used to do it this year, so it's the first time I've been back in a while. Just seems like the equipment and everything keeps getting larger and larger, which you're talking about the bank perspective. It looks like we're going to be needing larger and larger loans for operating equipment and that type of thing, which is good for us, I guess.
And then moving into the future, of course, 2019, one of the most difficult years in agriculture in the last few years when it comes to a loan perspective, interest rates, things like that. Where do you see things coming along as farmers look forward to 2020?
Well, I just think this is going to be a really rough year for the crops. We heard a rumor this morning that somebody heard that it was supposed to frost on September 4th, and if that happens, there's going to be a lot of crops that are in serious trouble, but I don't think that's going to really happen. That's a little bit too early.
And, of course, also as those interest rates have continued to stay low within agriculture, do you see that to be a trend as things are a little bit more difficult, or do you believe that with the lower prices they'll have to make a difference to make a little bit of that money up?
I think the rates are going to stay low. They may even go a little lower. They're projecting that they were going to go up toward the end of the year, but they cut the rates a month ago, and I think the banks are going to have to probably cut theirs just to help out with the loans on the farmers, because they're not going to have the crop to be able to pay back the larger interest loans.
All righty, that was Jim Miller with Security National Bank and Tim Hain with the First National Bank of Nokomis. Moving on now into state and local ag news, if you're looking to fill up the bare spots in your yard, now's the time to drop some grass seed. U of I Extension Master Gardener Candace Hart notes as things start to turn green thanks to recent rains, now is a good time to get out and drop some grass seed in those bare spots that may have turned up.
When we have those kind of drought periods where the lawn is basically going dormant, it's a great time for those tougher weeds to kind of take their hold and fill in the gaps in between. So this time of year, since most of our lawns are cool season grasses, they're usually a mix of bluegrass and fescue and things like that. So now that the temperatures will start to cool off, the grasses will start to kind of be a little more actively growing. So it's a great time to do lawn projects. So whether that means you're coming in and overseeding, so you're coming in with a seed spreader and you're putting some more seed on top of your existing lawn. If maybe you have a patchy, maybe it's just not very filled in, overseeding is a great thing to do. And then, of course, before you do that, you could go through and do an herbicide run and to control a lot of those broadleaf things that you have in the lawn, just making sure that you're reading the label, find out how long you need to wait before you can apply your grass.
This time of year brings a lot of questions about garden weeds, flower bed weeds, and lawn weeds. Hart points out Master Gardeners are available throughout the week to answer any questions you may have and offer strategies on dealing with those. She encourages a Google search of your local county U of I extension to get a hold of your local Master Gardener. And not only has the recent rains made the grass grow in the local area, it's also made the corn and soybean fields look a little better after that short drought we had at the beginning of August. Those improvements in the corn and bean conditions are reflected in this week's Crop Progress and Condition Report. So for that, we'll join Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Cool and wet weather continued across Illinois last week. Temperatures ranged from 2 degrees to 5 degrees below normal, and the state averaged 69.7 degrees last week, 3.5 degrees below normal. Rainfall averaged 1.24 inches, nearly one-half inch above normal. Southern parts of Illinois had below normal rainfall last week, but the rest of the state was wetter than normal. There was an average of 5 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture levels were reported as 8% very short, 21 short, 66 adequate, and 5% surplus, which is wetter than 1 week ago. Growing degree days accumulated since May 1 are above average in southern parts of Illinois, but are at or below normal in central and northern areas. Corn has reached the dough stage on 82% of acres. That compares to 100% 1 year ago and 97% for the 5-year average. Corn in the dense stage reached 46% of acres compared to the 5-year average of 76%. The condition of the Illinois corn crop was rated as 19% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 46% good to excellent, which is a little worse than 1 week ago. The Illinois soybean crop is now blooming on 95% of acres compared to 100% for the 5-year average. 84% of acres are setting pods compared to 97% normally. The condition of the Illinois soybean crop was reported as 17% very poor to poor, 37% fair, and 46% good to excellent, a little worse than 1 week ago. The third cutting of alfalfa hay is 77% finished compared to 85% normally. Pasture conditions were rated 19% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 46% good to excellent, and that is a little worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Sloysener with the Heartland Region Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Moving on in other state news, don't forget that there will be no early Canada goose season or a teal hunting season at the Coffeen Lake due to the bridge project on North 6th Avenue. That early Canada goose season started on Sunday and will be going through the 15th, and the teal season starts this Saturday the 7th and runs through the 22nd. They will not be allowing you to hunt due to the removal and construction of the bridge across the northern end of the lake on North 6th Avenue. Due to those safety concerns, hunters and anglers both are not able to enter the construction area and access the northern end of the lake for hunting and fishing until further notice. Also happening at Coffeen Lake this Saturday, the IDNR will be conducting a drawing on Saturday morning at 10 at Coffeen Lake for three youth to hunt deer during the 2019 Illinois Youth Firearm Deer Season to be held October 12th through the 14th. The youth hunt will take place at the Coffeen Lake State Fish and Wildlife Upland Management Area north of Highway 185 and west of the Coffeen Irving Road. Participating youth must have a valid Montgomery County permit for the 2019 Illinois Youth Firearm Deer Hunt. To be eligible for this Saturday's drawing, qualifying youth must submit a 3x5-inch postcard with the youth's name, date of birth, their IDNR customer number, mailing address, and contact phone number to the Coffeen Lake State Fish and Wildlife Site office by the time of the drawing on Saturday. The mailing address to apply for the drawing is Coffeen Lake, SFWA, P.O. Box 517, Coffeen, Illinois, 62017. Late entries will not be accepted. Those successful applicants in the drawing will have until the end of the month on September 30th to apply for and report their Montgomery County Youth Firearm Deer Permit number to the Coffeen Lake site office. Failure to do so will result in losing your spot for the youth hunt, and an alternate selection will be made for that spot. For more information, you can contact the Ramsey Lake State Park site office at 618-423-2215 or email Tim Pryor at tim.pryor@illinois.gov. A tradition within Montgomery County continues this weekend, and that is the 129th Montgomery County Farmers Institute that's been going on every year since 1890. To explain more on this year's event is Bob Feeney, who's been involved with organizing the County Farmers Institute for over 10 years. Here Bob explains that the Montgomery County Farmers Institute is one of the only institutes left in the state.
We've had this for the 129 years, and when it first started many years ago, the farmers used to come in with horses and buggies and bring in their bushels of corn and oats. And at that time, I think there was about 40, the average yield per acre was about 40 to 50 bushels per acre. And each of the 102 counties in Illinois used to have a Farmers Institute similar to ours. But from what we understand, we are the only county that continues to have the Farmers Institute as we currently have it today.
Bob also touches on how the County Farmers Institute is very similar to the expo of a county fair.
It's very similar to that. Yes, it is. We have seven different classes, ag sciences, fruits and vegetables, flowers, canned goods, fancy work, culinary, and a youth division. And amongst these seven classes, there are 110 categories. And so there are many, many possibilities entering into whatever your favorite item is, whether it's cooking or whether it's growing vegetables or flowers. You have a lot of people who are quilting, a lot of excellent, beautiful quilts there every year. And we give our prizes are $10 for the first place, $5 for second, and $2 for third place. And we have three categories that we give $25 in. For that's the best harvest basket, for the best quilt, and the best cake.
And again, that was Bob Feeney, volunteer for the Montgomery County Farmers Institute, as well as the Montgomery County Master Gardener. In other local events coming up later in the month of September, the Staunton FFA alumni will be sponsoring their 13th annual tractor ride on Saturday, September 14th. Registration will begin at 7 a.m. with coffee, juice, water, and donuts available. The ride will leave at 8 a.m. with a quick driver's meeting before and an opening ceremony as well. The ride will then take a stop for refreshments along the way to Marine, where the tractors will be on display and lunch can be purchased. Orders for lunch will be taken at the registration that morning, so it will be ready upon arrival. Passengers are not allowed to ride on any part of the tractor unless in an approved buddy seat. You may not ride on a fender mount. If you have any questions about this year's Staunton FFA Alumni's Tractor Drive, you can contact Stacy Slifka at 618-781-7435, or you can contact Alumni Chapter Reporter Linda Niehaus at 618-402-2710. Also coming up later this month in the local area, the Montgomery County 4-H will be holding shooting sports along with archery and air rifles from 1:30 to 3 on Sunday, September 15th at the 4-H Park in Butler. Shooting sports will also take place on the next three following Sundays of September 22nd, September 29th, and October 6th. In other events from the U of I Extension, U of I Extension's horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger will be hosting a succulent wreath workshop on Monday, September 16th. If you have ever wondered how to use succulents in a creative way, this class is for you. Holsinger will guide you and you will create your own wreath with a mix of succulents you can enjoy throughout the holiday season. This program will meet at the Montgomery County Extension office in Hillsboro from 5 to 6:30 in the evening. Cost is $20 and will include all materials to create a wreath to take home. Advanced registration is required by Friday, September 13th by visiting go.illinois.edu/cjmm or by calling Extension Horticulture Educator Andrew Holsinger at 217-532-3941. Also happening in a couple weeks, the Hamel Co-op Grain Company, which is also a Purina Certified Expert Dealer, is announcing their 2019 Purina Checkerboard Days as their customer appreciation event. Purina is also celebrating with their 125th anniversary. You can stop by the Hamel Co-op located at 121 North Old Route 66 in Hamel on September 19th, 20th, and the 21st during their regular store hours to enjoy savings and refreshments. You can register for prizes including a gift certificate and an iRobot Roomba. On Friday, the 20th, they'll have a Purina sales specialist in store for discussion. To schedule a one-on-one appointment, you can call their phone number at the Hamel Co-op at 618-633-2215. Customers will also have the opportunity to enter to win in the National 2019 Purina Checkerboard Day Sweepstakes for their chance to win a 2019 Polaris Ranger Utility Vehicle, a trip for two to the Purina Animal Nutrition Center, or an Orion 65 cooler. You need to see the store for the official rules, however. So come on out to the 2019 annual Purina Checkerboard Days Customer Appreciation Event at the Hamel Co-op in Hamel. And that just about wraps it up for this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag news for the show, you can email that to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, September 4th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.